Hello, welcome to a beautiful podcast of Fall in Love, an unofficial Bachelor Nation show from TV Guide. I'm Liam Matthews, and joining me in TV Guide Mansion is my co-host from RE Season and Bachelor in Paradise. She's here for the flight reasons. It's Jacqueline Trumbull.
Hello.
I had something better than that.
Anything better than that?
This is a little look behind the. This is a little peek behind the curtain. We'll see if I remember it last week for next week. And we're joined today by a very special guest. Our first special guest. TV Guide senior editor Sadie Gennis, who watched her very first episode of The Bachelor ever last night. So we'll be getting into what she thought, her thoughts as a first-time Bachelor viewer, almost 20 years into 20 years ACH after Chris Harrison. But first, some points of discussion. Jacqueline, how do you think Peter did?
I thought he did fine, actually. I didn't have any major thoughts about him. I think he's going to be a fairly strong lead, maybe. What do you think?
I think so. I think he did really well. I think compared to Ari and Colton, he was had a much more polished first night.
Yeah.
I think he was like nervous in like an endearing way and not in a way that affected his performance, mm-hmm. You know? I thought he looked great.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He hit the gym hard in the months between filming and the time between seasons. Mm-hmm. He grew a little bit of a beard. He looks great.
Plus, we found out that he's Cuban, so The Bachelor finally chose a minority lead.
Yeah. They really hit that hard. Yeah. They were like, look, we know he... look, his name is Weber. We know. We got a lot of Peter's family. Too much Peter's family. I'm over Peter's family.
Dude.
But I like Peter.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We can talk about the whole renewing their vows thing later, I guess, but it's too much Peter's family.
Yeah.
He handled a bunch of things pretty well. One little thing is I liked his rose speech where he said, if you don't get a rose tonight, I hope your love is out there. There's something, he gave like a nice nod to the women who were going home, which was sweet. Yeah, there were things that I think he handled well throughout. So
yeah.
Yeah, we'll give him big points.
No, really, pretty most of the stuff they threw at him, he handled very well. He was good with the women. He was okay with Hannah, but that was like, it's like an impossible situation.
It
was
we'll
get to that later, but I have good feelings about Peter as the lead this season. I think he's going to do a good job.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. And so what did you think of the format change for this premiere where they basically combined the first and second episodes?
I thought that was fine in that if it had been 3 hours of just the first night, I would have really wanted to stop watching. So
yeah.
Adding that, because you and I disagree about the Hannah appearance, but I thought the episode, I think the first episode's generally kind of boring. I don't think it's boring if you've never seen the show before, maybe, although we're about to find out. but it really... eventually it just becomes the same thing over and over again. And that's sort of the case with the first date episode as well. So they just kind of knocked that out, which was nice. And then ended with something juicy. So I didn't have any complaints about that necessarily, other than I don't know if it was necessary for it to be 3 hours long.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. They basically combined two episodes. You know, they combined 4 hours into three. So it
it did spare us something.
Yeah. No, it was great because so for the first night is usually so boring. Because they pad it out with like, you know, like little bits of drama between just the people in the house that doesn't matter. It's just tedious.
Was it Colton season where they did that live bullshit with like
yeah, that
Chris
was the
and Crystal
worst.
In the hot tub? And
it was a disaster.
Yeah, it was terrible.
They did this live, like they went into watch parties from all across the country and it was a disaster. It truly, truly sucked.
Who do they think wanted to see that?
I don't know. They needed to fill time. So this time they were like, all right, they got through the rose ceremony with an hour and a half of show left. It was great. It was a huge episode with a lot of stuff in it, mm-hmm. but it wasn't bloated, you know?
Yeah.
It moved quickly, which I really appreciated. So why do you think they did that, though?
I think the show is becoming increasingly adaptable, which is good, and increasingly happy to shake things up a little bit and mix up the format. I mean, this is a 24th season, right? Like, they have to do something, and plus The Bachelorette. They're running out of ideas for the entrances, clearly. I mean, even though those are the women's ideas, there were literally some repeats, and not just costumes, but, like, Becca Martinez's entrance was repeated. It was just like weird things like that. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, so I just think they're starting to experiment, and they saw that last year's didn't work out, so why not try this one?
Yeah, I think also it could be that they didn't have the material. It seemed like, because usually if they have like strong conflict on the first night, they'll put it in, but it seemed like maybe they just didn't. People were, you know, well behaved for the most part.
Agreed. And also they have alcohol monitoring now, you know, I mean, there's only so much drama that can happen on the first night. Like, nobody's formed real enemies yet. There aren't that many confrontations that can be had on the first night unless it's fueled by alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Or you know, interruptions. But even the one interruption conflict we had.
The girl was very sweet. I mean, not the annoying one, but the other girl was very sweet.
It was very polite. I thought it was great, but it was polite. So I think they were just like, yeah, let's just keep it moving. And I think probably they have good stuff later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not, you know, stretch this out if we don't need to. We can compress this and stretch out later on, because they've been, you know, they've been adding seasons or adding episodes sort of on the fly. Remember last season when they had that, they had like half an episode and then they had the clip show.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that again. So they're
no,
like,
they shouldn't.
Right. So they're adjusting as they go along. You know, it's pretty amazing. This show has been on since 2002 and they are still tweaking the formula to get things right. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, who is your favorite girl so far?
I don't have a strong favorite. I liked Tammy. And for some reason, I kind of liked the girl who threw up. Maybe I just liked her energy or something.
I loved her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you get? That's Sadie. She's your favorite so far? Victoria P?
I really liked her. And then I really liked Victoria F just for the comedy of her saying, I don't want to be Victoria F. And then the lower third labeling her Victoria F, I thought was such a great moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So Victoria P, she has a good, story. You know?
I'm concerned for her.
Yeah. And that was funny. That gyroscope thing. Remember they did that, Jacqueline, they did that on your season with Annalise. They did like the same, you know, reenactment of childhood trauma.
Yeah, I know.
And it was funny then, and it was funny now.
I know.
Yeah, Victoria P was good. I like Kelly.
Yeah. I like
Kelly.
Her too.
Unsettles me.
You think Kelly's unsettling?
Yes.
Why?
I just feel like when she looks at everyone else, it's like she isn't quite making eye contact. There seems to be like a disconnect between this woman and everyone else in the room. I think her and Peter have chemistry, but I don't think there is anything deeper than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I think maybe she wasn't making eye contact because everybody was mad at her and she was like, I didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah, I know. They're really ganging up on her. I mean, apparently she cheated, but whatever.
Yeah. I think she has beautiful hair. She seems normal, you know? I thought she seemed normal. Most of these other people do not seem normal.
I think if you meet someone once and then go onto a show being like, I want you to be my husband, I think that's also part of the reason she kind of is unsettling to me. It's like,
okay.
The fact that she had met him before and is like, oh yeah, no, I want to marry him. It's like, that's not normal. That's the opposite of normal. And I know these women aren't supposed to be normal. I don't want them to be normal.
You got to get on Bachelor. It's Bachelor World, baby. You got to get on Bachelor Time.
Yeah, you do got to get on Bachelor Time. It's like The Sims. It moves really fast.
I'm on 90 Day Fiancé time.
Yeah, so I liked Kelly. I really liked some of the girls who got sent home. I liked Marissa. I liked Katrina. Katrina seemed like she was a lot of fun. She was the one who looked like the Peloton wife.
Oh, yeah.
But she got sent home.
Which one looked like Gwen Stefani? Who's that one?
Oh, who? Did somebody look like Gwen Stefani?
Yes, a beautiful blonde. Well, anyway. Who was the one who lost 80 pounds?
That was Marissa.
Marissa? Yeah, she was cool.
Yeah. There were three flight attendants, and he sent them all home.
Oh, wow. I missed
the
that.
First night. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm not doing this. No flight attendants. He's like, I'm not going to date. I don't date at work.
Oh, that's an interesting take.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Delta pilot, right?
Delta, yeah. I don't know what the who they flew for, but yeah, he flies for Delta, which, I mean, they're all bad. I was gonna say it was like, yeah, so what's the worst one? But they're all terrible.
That's the worst nobody one. Likes. I think it's the best
nobody,
one.
Nobody likes airlines. Okay, and did any intros stand out to you? Any fun intros? Not Victoria F. We'll talk about Victoria F. later.
This wasn't necessarily a fun one, but Alaya, I thought, had really good energy.
Yeah. That was really interesting, Alaya going first, because she was alphabetically first.
Oh.
I think they did kind of like a, they were trying to throw us off a little bit, because usually they don't want to signal right away. Usually, like, they'll have somebody, the person who goes first, that person is going to go far. It's like a signal, the wifey slot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Alaya's going to go far, but they, I mean, she had a great intro, and she seemed pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. She did.
Who was the woman who popped out of the suitcase?
Kiara. That was the best intro.
That was by far the best one I saw.
As a murder junkie, how do you feel about a woman being stuffed into a suitcase?
I mean, as a murder junkie and reality TV show connoisseur, it definitely reminded me of Megan Wants a Millionaire.
Yes. For those who don't know, that was the winner of VH1 celebrity reality show, Megan Wants a Millionaire. He murdered his wife, stuffed her in a suitcase, and the show was canceled. It ended that whole era.
It really did. And I love that era. But my thing with these intros is, like, they're all gimmicks, they're all stunts, and so I really like the suitcase because it embraced that the most. And, like, if you're gonna do something over the top just for, like, attention, go all the way.
Yeah. Somebody, yeah, she could have died in there. She could have suffocated.
I appreciated the commitment.
Yeah. And the guy wheeling her up the driveway was a nice touch, too.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
What was Hannah Ann's intro?
Hannah Ann didn't do anything. She was just like, hi.
Oh, okay.
All right. So Sadie saw her first intros. And then after the break, we're going to get to her other first impressions. Who got her first impression, Rose? Back after this. All right, Sadie. So what do you think?
I went on a journey yesterday. I watched this in, like, kind of three parts, like it was like a BBC miniseries. And after watching the first two parts, I was like, I hate this show. I don't understand why it's popular. But then when I watched the third, which started at the obstacle course challenge, by the end of that, I was like, okay, no, I get this show now. And this is actually pretty amazing.
All right. Yeah. Once you get to know the people and get to care, that's really what it's about. It's about relationships.
I don't understand why, if they are trying to adapt and grow, just, like, cut that beginning stuff down.
No, we love the beginning stuff.
It did not
need to.
Some traditions are meant to be condensed so that you don't have a 3-hour premiere.
Yeah.
What didn't you like about it?
So I watch, like, a lot of reality shows, like Housewives, 90 Day Fiance, Love Island. And what's most interesting is trying to see, like, where reality actually comes through. And so in those first two thirds of the episode, I didn't see a lot of genuine moments. Like, even if someone's, like, being over the top or trying to, like, play into a character, you can usually tell if there's, like, a real feeling driving it. And it all just seemed like everyone was very stuck in playing their roles and their best behavior. And it wasn't until the last third that I actually felt like I got to know these women at all and, like, see actual dynamics between anyone that felt true.
Well, that's accurate. I mean, that's how I felt the first night. I hated the first night, like when I was actually there. And then it was such an incredible shift between that first night and the next day. Everyone just, like, the first night, you know, everyone's wearing these gowns and everybody's makeup has been done by somebody else and everyone's just stiff and uncomfortable. And, you know, the interactions feel kind of Valley Girl-esque when you watch it or when you're in it. It's just odd. Like, everyone's sort of talking through a film or something. And then the next day, everyone's just relaxed and ready to start. And, you know, there's more spaces between the filming or something like that. I mean, the first night it's like, it's always on and it lasts until 8 and it's just, you'd have to get through it. And so, yeah, it's very hard to have genuine moments. And then you meet this guy for like 30 seconds to 10 minutes. But the point of that is to just immediately stress you the hell out, I think, and like show sort of high stakes and like get the nerves going and whatever. And then also just the practical aspect of you have to meet him somehow. But I agree with you generally.
Yeah, now I am kind of curious and I might continue watching because I want to see if that sort of, I want to see if it can hold my interest in a way that is like dynamic, because I feel like I've always heard The Bachelor can be very formulaic, but I saw those moments last night that made me understand why it was like so captivating even while staying within this formula, and that fascinates me, and now I kind of want to keep watching.
Yeah. No, that's really what it is. It's like, it's the, when the real moments break through the formula, that's really what you watch for. It's like baseball.
Or wrestling.
Or wrestling. Baseball in the sense that it's long stretches of boredom with moments of transcendence.
I also want to know like how Peter will maybe be a little more unique in his interactions with each woman, because when I was watching like the first half of this episode, everyone he spoke to was, I have such a good feeling about you. I'm so happy you're here. It was the same generic line because he didn't know these women. I understand that, but it was really hard for me to connect to anyone or their relationships because it was just a generic platitude and not actually reflective of the woman or whatever connection they might have.
Mm-hmm.
It made me not trust him too.
Well, he's just overwhelmed is really what it comes down to. He has to create a connection with 30 people in 10 seconds. It's a lot of pressure. Do you have any questions for Jacqueline, having lived it?
So if you were in the house, would you have cared that Kelly cheated in that game? I was so confused by that whole altercation.
That's a good question. I mean, the show isn't really about athletic integrity, so...
Yeah, like, I feel like she didn't do anything wrong. I understand why they were annoyed, but, like...
She didn't cheat on purpose. Saw diagrams
the diagram
there. They were hilarious.
Great. I did too, with the arrow.
She was supposed to go around an obstacle, and instead of going around it, she just went straight. She didn't follow the course.
Yeah, that probably would have been pretty annoying, because the reality is that the show, especially in the beginning... I mean, it's so easy to miss your time with him, and it's so easy to fade into the back, and that's a huge advantage to get that time right up front. Especially since she'd already met him and had time with him, and you know, so she was already rocketing ahead. I mean, I wasn't super like invested in the beginning when I was on personally, and there was no part of me that was expecting to like go the whole way. So I probably wouldn't have cared as much as other people, but I can certainly understand how that's annoying, because the other thing is that they sleep deprive you, and there's so much bullshit you have to do all day long, and to stay up like super late for a rose ceremony or a cocktail party or whatever for these group dates, and then like not get any time with the lead and not feel like you've sort of strategically like advanced can be frustrating. And so I can imagine that would be annoying for the person who did run around the obstacle, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you got to let those things go.
And also they needed her to have time with Peter, you know?
Especially knowing they were going to that hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that I should have realized when I was on it, and that all of these women should realize, is that there's no point in having these squabbles with the other women, because you don't know what is genuinely their fault or what has been producer inspired. And we learned, so there was one episode in my season where we went bowling and he was supposed to only take the winning team to the cocktail party, but he took both of us. And like, this caused such drama, and like the villain of the show, you know, went off on Ari, the lead, and whatever. And it's like, who knows if that was Ari's idea, you know, who knows if that was his choice. You just kind of have to let things roll off you a bit, or you're going to risk getting a bad at it.
Yeah. Because you can't blame the producers. Maybe you can, but they won't put it in the show.
Right.
But, right. I mean, if you're going to get, in this situation, if you're going to get mad at anyone, get mad at the people who allowed Kelly to win by cheating, you know? But,
right.
All right. So, Sadie, I hope you keep watching.
at the very least, I will listen to this podcast because I am curious to see what happens next. I don't know if I have the bandwidth. I don't know if I have the time. These episodes are so long.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. They're very long.
I watch 90 Day Fiancé and that's like 3 hours a week. So.
That one's crazy, right? Yeah.
And there are seven of them.
I'm glad you hated it in the right way.
I understand the fandom
yes.
now.
Good. Good. All right. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about these women back after this. All right. We're back. And we got to talk about Hannah Ann. Hannah Ann is going to be the most important player this season, is my prediction.
I agree.
What do you think, Jacqueline?
I hope not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
You hope not.
Yeah, I found her really annoying.
Yeah, she was really rubbing people the wrong way. And yeah. What was it?
I don't know.
Because that's like, nobody was really able to articulate exactly what it was, but there's something about Hannah Ann that bothers people.
I mean, one thing that off the bat bothers me is actually something that Madison had as well. Although Madison, so I did not like Madison either until the conversation portion of the one-on-one date. Then I kind of shifted on her. They don't talk like normal people. I mean, that's like a basic thing. One of the reasons I liked Aliyah's intro was that she came out and she just had a normal voice and like mm-hmm. a normal, I don't mean normal as in a nice voice. I mean, a not affected voice. Mm-hmm. Just like yeah. she's speaking as her own character, you know, or as herself.
Yeah. Hannah Ann's intro, like when she got out of the limo, it was like a normal, it was like a normal greeting, but it sounded rehearsed. It sounded like she had practiced saying, "Hi, how are you?"
Uh-huh.
I think that is exactly the problem. Everything she said felt rehearsed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. Part of me is like having trouble. I mean, I always have trouble like getting people straight this first episode, but
yeah.
Was she the one who kept interrupting?
She did three interruptions.
Yeah. And she was wearing the green dress. Okay.
Yes. She gave him a painting that she and her dad did. It was odd.
Oh yeah. It wasn't very good.
Bring your dad into it.
Yeah. Like you, I thought she just said her dad painted it. I was like, you just gave him a painting your dad painted of like little vaginas is what it looked like. They were flowers, but they looked like goop flowers. But no, she painted it with her dad. So it was a collaboration. So it's not as weird, but it's still kind of weird.
He is all about family, apparently. So maybe yeah. that was the angle.
they always are.
Yeah, they always are.
But this was too much family.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and also, yeah, so three interruptions, that's a lot. And then when she was confronted about it, she put up a brick wall. It was pretty amazing to watch, honestly. She really gave Shein nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She was just like, yeah, go get it, girl.
But it wasn't as riveting as a Demi brick wall.
No.
I mean, hers was, yeah. Like, I don't know that this girl's witty, you know, so I'm reading a People article about her right now, and she, again, like, she talks in not just cliches, but bachelor cliches. When I have my eye on something like Peter, I'm going to go after it, she said. And I did. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just irritating. Like, mm-hmm. very first night. Like, she sounds like she's been trained by the producers. The choice to go in three times. I mean, the show has been on forever. Everyone yeah. knows that that's
she knows she
a move.
Doing. Yeah.
Right.
She's not being manipulated the same way that somebody like Olivia Creedy was, because she clearly knows how the show works.
Right.
She's a friend of Hannah Godwin, somebody who was on the show last year.
I thought she was. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what you said.
So she knows the game.
Yeah.
I think what would be interesting is if she's clearly going to try and keep up this sort of character and play this role she has set for herself. But it sounds like being on the show is extremely exhausting and extremely stressful. And it'll be interesting to see if she can hold that up this whole yeah. time, or if she snaps and we actually see the real Hannah Ann.
Yeah. Oh, I think we will. I bet we will.
And I bet it's going to be dark.
Yeah. And then, so I think she could be the first front runner who gets a villain edit in a long time. But I also think that could be Victoria F. as well. I don't know any details or anything, but just like from just being online, it seems like Victoria F. is going to be around for a long time.
Great,
right? Because Victoria F. already wiling out.
She's a star.
She, from the rip. So Sadie, you messaged me yesterday watching Victoria F's intro. You said, all caps, I'm disgusted.
I believe I also said I am traumatized
by her statement of, I have a dry sense of humor, but that's the only thing that's dry about me.
I just can't imagine meeting someone and not only making that joke, but not even making that joke in a more clever way. Like, such a lazy joke.
But it didn't even make sense.
Like, what? That,
right.
I want to know what else.
What else is wet? Yeah. I'm just dripping all the time.
I did really appreciate that she was also horrified after the fact. She's like, she was horrified during it. She could barely get
it
out.
I don't want to do this.
And then she couldn't believe she said it later. And honestly, I was shocked that she was so self-aware.
Yeah.
It made me like her more.
Right. It was so bad that Peter was like, yeah. You don't have to finish it. I get what you're saying. He didn't let her finish. She was like, yeah. Fine. Great.
Yeah, but her choice to then, I mean, what isn't self-aware or maybe just societally aware is her choice to then explain her joke and bring it back into his awareness her time with him. I mean, she knew that went badly, but strange choice.
Right, just let it, right. If it flops, move on. But yeah. No, she couldn't do that. She was melting down already. You know, as soon as she walks in the house, she finds out she's not the only Victoria. She gets upset. This is not a good sign.
Things are just going to get worse with her.
Yes. I think starting next week and definitely through week 3, this show is going to become the Victoria F show. Like, she's going to take over.
Yeah. She can't possibly make it. I mean, she's dripping with insecurity. It's really hard to imagine that going far. She feels really young and in desperate, to me. So it's hard to imagine that being like alluring for very long, even though if it makes it a good villain.
Yeah. This kind of character is usually gone by week 4. We'll see. Maybe, you know, it is possible that Peter sees a different side of her. Top 10?
You think she'll go past top 10?
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. And then there's the White Lives Matter thing.
I know.
Our favorite Bachelor meme account, Bachelor Clues, found that she had posed for a fishing clothing line that advocates for fishing and conservation for white marlins, and it says white lives matter.
I take back everything I said about me liking her all. Get her off television.
Yeah. So, and Bachelor Clues has deleted that post, but
really,
yeah, but it was her, right? I mean, it's not like it wasn't her.
Well, if it wasn't her, then he has a responsibility to tell people that, because that's, I mean, that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, the photo that was going around was her, you know, modeling. She has a baseball cap on that says WLM, but she's next to like another photo, sort of like in this gallery, is somebody has a T-shirt that has a Confederate flag print on it with their stars or marlins, and it says White Lives Matter. If I have to explain to you why that's problematic and racist, you're not going to get it. You're being obtuse.
You know why.
You understand. So Victoria F, canceled.
She is going to, she's going to be destroyed. Wait. She's spoken out about this.
Oh, she did? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, there's an article. She's already fighting back on Instagram. She said, "The rumors, all in caps, you are hearing are false. There will be a time and place where I can defend myself, but for now I choose to wait." Well, however, bullying is not okay, nor is it fair, especially when casting judgment and basing opinions upon pure speculation, assumptions, and lies. Whether the rumors will be addressed, I don't know if the show is unknown. Oh, and of course she began her statement with a Bible verse.
Oh, wow. So where is this? Thank you for doing journalism, Jacqueline.
You're welcome. It's a Refinery 29 article. Okay. I Googled Victoria Bachelor White Lives Matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so we'll see. We'll see. Every season, somebody has posted something racist. It never fails.
Just one?
Yeah. Sometimes one, sometimes more. So Victoria F, gonna be a problem. We'll tell you that. Okay, so let's talk about Hannah B. I had kind of mixed feelings about it, but both of you liked it. So Jacqueline, what worked for you about the continued saga of Peter and Hannah?
Did you think it was fake? I mean, I thought it was pretty real. And
no, it was definitely real. It was definitely real. Like, they were genuine. Like, they truly had no idea what was going on.
Well, yeah, like, yeah. And they also clearly still had feelings for each other. I mean, I think my view is anytime they can inject something real and nuanced and complicated into the show, it's a good thing. I also like Hannah, so I'm happy to see her. I thought it was weird that they made her come back multiple times. I mean, that was a strange time. But obviously, I mean, the little puppeteers, you know, are like, these people still have feelings for each other. Like, let's see if we can grenade his entire season with this. And like, that's a very interesting choice. I think it's like, the two questions are, was this good TV? And then, did she do the right thing? And those are like, I have two different answers for that, I suppose. But I was riveted. Mm-hmm. Especially for our first episode, I was like, how much more interesting could it get than to bring back the old lead and show that she's not over him? And what I also liked about it is they always, you know, they have this narrative where the person who's chosen to be the lead is like so in love and so devastated and will never get over this and will always love the person until 2 weeks later they're chosen as the new bachelor and they're like, yep, I'm ready to move on. And they showed how dumb that is and how unrealistic it is. And that made his time on her season feel more real. And it made his season feel more real, more realistic at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that he had convinced himself that he was over her. And then when he saw her again, he was like, oh, I'm actually not.
Yeah.
And that felt very real, you know? You thought it was good TV, but you didn't think it was necessarily the right thing for Hannah to do.
I have mixed feelings about that, but I didn't know if you wanted to keep going in the, is this good TV?
No, go ahead.
I think that it's generally a good idea to fight for someone if you really think that, okay. So I had a friend text me and he was very angry about her showing up. He'd never seen this show before, but he's like, how could you go in? He said, of course she's going to feel some things when her ex is ankle deep in eligible women on national television. She didn't even get it sort of wrong. He was her third choice. Whatever. I mean, so he's going on and I was like, the show, it messes with your head and she got extra messed with, you know, so I think that confusion is warranted. And then the second is just that if you think that this might be the right person, you should go for it and fight for it. I think what she should have done, if she's going to go in and throw a grenade in his life in season, she should have had a game plan. Not necessarily how I'm going to do this, but what she's willing to do. Like, is she willing to rejoin the house? Is that what she's asking for? Is she asking him to come off the show and like be in a relationship with her? I mean, I don't think it's necessarily the right thing to go in and just say, I'm confused and I have feelings for you. And like all the things you thought over the last few months when I could have reached out to you were, you know, misled. And I don't know if what happened is just the producers kept forcing her to come back, plied her with alcohol, and then, you know, she got emotional and couldn't keep it in, you know, or couldn't hide it. I mean, like, that's very likely what happened. But that whole conversation needed to have some clarity for him. Like, she needed to show him what she's actually willing to do, like, or otherwise all it is confusion, and it's they don't have time to be confused. Like, he has to move forward with this immediately.
Yeah, what do you want him to do? Because there's limited options, you know?
Yeah.
And not even what she wants him to do, but what she is willing to do.
Yeah.
Right.
He was really the only one who suggested any sort of path forward, which is for her to join the show.
Which we know didn't happen.
Consider these things in advance, like how far, if you do have feelings, what you're willing to
put. If you do have feelings. Yeah.
I did not watch last season, but it sounds like she put him through a lot and like broke his heart. So like, think about what you're willing to sacrifice if you really have such strong feelings for him.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to like drop this bomb at the beginning of his season.
Yeah. Right. That's what it felt like to me. It was just like she's just dropping this bomb on him, and then he has to like, oh, all right. So now I have this information.
I definitely mm-hmm. don't think she meant to.
Yeah.
I think Jacqueline was 100% right where...
I don't think she knew she was going to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. She just couldn't keep it in anymore.
Yeah. Ugh. And this is why we love Hannah B. She's kind of a mess.
But also what happened, you know, is that she was crying privately and then they sent him in. And so it's like... Yeah.
You could see a look when she saw the cameras come in and she gave that kind of smile like, they caught me.
Oh, wow. I missed that. Wow.
Yeah. And at that point, it's like you're drunk and, well, I don't know if she was drunk, but I wouldn't be surprised. You're crying. This dude comes in. It's very unusual for you to be crying unless... Is she going to make something up? Like, so she was kind of accosted as well.
Yeah. They just can't stop putting these people in terrible positions. They love it. And actually, Evan Bass pointed out on Twitter that this, like, he did the math, and this was filmed, like, the day after she got a bad score on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, interesting.
So she was in a vulnerable place. And it was her birthday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so funny, you know? Like, we keep trusting these people. Like, they've messed with her so much, the producers, but they keep giving her such high rewards that she just, it's like, okay, yeah, I'll go on Peter's season on my birthday.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for Hannah to take a little vacation. She's been through a lot. She's been on TV for a year nonstop now.
Yeah. You know? I'll feel really bad, though, if this is how her TV career ends, in the sense. Like, she's had such a sparkling reputation and ride.
Oh, she'll be all right. She's going to do great.
Yeah, this was my first time ever watching her. And I am immediately so invested in her as a person and just like rooting for her. And so I don't think this is going to be how her TV tenure ends. But if it does, it was such a human and relatable moment.
Yeah.
I've definitely been Hannah B in that moment. So it really made me love her a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet.
I wonder if men feel different. All I know is I like tweeted something about her and I got lots of angry. I mean, they weren't angry at me, but they were like, her 15 minutes are over or she's a bitch. Like just a bunch of stupid, like very angry. It's amazing how invested people get in these shows and then can't understand that like, these are emotions. They're not straightforward. And these are people's lives.
And how can you hate her when she gave us the best part of the whole premiere?
I know. Well, but Liam, why? But you didn't like it.
No, I did.
What do you mean?
I changed my mind.
You changed your mind.
No, I liked it. I just didn't like that they put Peter in this position. I don't like when they drop stuff on the lead.
It made me feel really bad for Peter and really bad for all of the women.
Yeah, they're having this conversation with 15 women outside waiting for them to come out.
Waiting to tell their own sex stories.
Right. Right. So Hannah shows up and tells, like, could you imagine if you were one of these women and this guy you're dating's ex shows up and tells you a story about having sex with him?
Well, nothing could make you feel like more of a pawn than coming on this show thinking you have a shot at marriage, standing on stage telling sex stories as the lead is talking to his ex and thinking about running away with her. I mean, it's like, oh, I am just a TV bit. Like, that's my purpose in life.
Well, we'll get the resolution to that next week. I mean, whether the emotions are resolved or not, they have to move on with the show. The show must go on. But that is, I mean, it adds an interesting, you know, dimension, like a pall over the show, because usually like the lead is not single while, or the previous lead is not single while somebody from their show is going on, you know.
Yeah,
so it's just an interesting dimension.
Any chance she's gonna have part of the finale?
Yeah, maybe she could show up.
The only spoiler I got from Reality Steve, and this isn't a real spoiler, so don't worry, but he said the ending is another unusual one.
Yeah.
Well, what was that flash forward in the beginning of the episode to what I assume was the finale?
Yeah.
Do you have any...
I don't know. But they gave it a little flash forward, which I liked. I like mm-hmm. that they're like, something's coming.
That's confidence. Mm-hmm. That yeah. is like, we have something really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always love that in a
reality I love
show.
It. I think this is going to be a good season. And yeah. So we're not going to do an influencer island count, but we are going to do a literally shaking count. My least favorite cliche on the show is when people say, I'm literally shaking. Like that's when they're having an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Two women said, I'm literally shaking this episode.
One of them also said she was literally having a panic attack as she walked around calmly.
So I'll keep a tally of that. All right, Sadie, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you had a good time. I hope you keep watching. Jacqueline, thank you so much for just being you. Love ya. Until next time, this has been a beautiful podcast to fall in love. I'm Liam Matthews. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Bye.
Whether it's a new Netflix original, the latest season of a long-running network drama, or a reevaluation of a legendary comedy series, TV Guide is the place for fans to come and find out about their favorite shows and movies. And with our help, discover some new favorites as well. From our Watch This Now recommendations and newsletter to our WTF Just Happened video series, TV Guide is the premier hub for people who love TV as much as we all do to come and hang out. Visit us at tvguide.com, follow us on social media at TV Guide, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TV Guide, for all this great free content. And let us help you find your next binge.